Mark chapter 15, I'd like to read verse 40 and verse 41 just to begin our message this evening. And another character study, having trouble getting away from this before we get back into this time 2 Thessalonians. We'll be back in a verse by verse study hopefully before long. And I want to speak tonight on Salome. And her name is only mentioned twice, and it's here in the book of Mark. Notice with me, as we read from verse 40 and 41, and Brother Avery, I want to thank you for not feeling well and being in church today. He told me this morning, he said, I want to be in church whether I feel good or not, and I appreciate you being here today. Yes. Notice with me as we read verse 40 and 41. He says here, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and the Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. Now verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Father, we thank you tonight for again the opportunity to be able to assemble together and sing the songs of Zion and look into your word and fellowship with one another. And Lord, we just pray your blessings, your anointing upon the reading of Holy Scriptures tonight. Speak to us, help us. And Lord, help us to glean from this individual that you, this holy woman, this godly woman that you've placed in the Scripture. Help us to glean and learn lessons from her life and her testimony. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Last week, we titled the message, My Name is Legion. And tonight, we're looking at Salome. Notice with me, as we come back here to verse 40. Now, her name is mentioned twice in verse 40 and also chapter 16. And in verse 1, only here in Mark. But she is referred to in other Gospels as the mother of Zebedee's children. She's mentioned only twice by name, but she is referred to in other places. Now notice, as we come here and consider her, spend a few moments on this woman tonight. She was a godly woman who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, began following him early in his ministry. She is a great example to other believers. She was a wife, and she was also a mother. She is the wife of Zebedee, a successful fisherman, and the mother of James and John, who became apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salome means peace or peaceful, and it is supposed to be the Greek form of shalom, meaning peace, and I've read also that it's the feminine form of Solomon, which also means peace as well. And it appears as we look at this, the whole family, the husband, the wife, and the sons, that they were a godly family. They all followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is silent on her genealogy, so I'm going to be silent on that tonight. There's some that believe, according to John 19:25, we're not going to turn and read that, but there's some believe that she was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, making her Jesus' aunt, and James and John, cousins of the Lord Jesus. And I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. And so we're not going to worry about her genealogy. We don't know. Now, I want you to notice in verse 40 and 41 again. Well, let me read verse 40 again. It says, and there were also women looking afar off. Now they're at the cross. Now, we're going to just briefly mention this right now. We're going to move away from this, and then we'll come back later and talk about her being at the cross. But she's at the cross with some other women. And she's listed with these other women during the time of the crucifixion. And again, we'll come back to this subject later on. But he says here in verse 40, "And there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, the Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph," I've had trouble with that little word, and Salome. Now notice as we come to verse 41, and I want to say this this evening, there are three things I want to consider tonight with her. The first thing I want to consider is her faith in the Messiah. And we see this clearly as we look at the Scripture. The second thing I want to consider with you tonight is her desire, her request that she made of Messiah. And that's going to be in Matthew 20. And number three, her devotion to Messiah. Now, we already see that in these verses. But notice now, as we come to verse 41, just notice for a few moments her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 41, "Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." So we not only have Salome, but we have a list of other women, and probably many that are not even mentioned by name. We have here, again, Mary Magdalene and so forth. But we have these women who began following the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. And as we read through the Scripture, and we find them still with him at the cross and at the tomb, at his resurrection, and so forth. So first of all, I just want to mention to you her faith in the Messiah. She is one of a group of women that are listed here in other places who followed and helped Jesus Christ from the beginning, from the very beginning, and of his ministry in Galilee. And again, we're reading a verse right now where she's standing at a distance from the crucifixion. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Notice with me in the book of Luke, and we're going to be reading in chapter 8. I want to read the first three verses. Now, we know that as we come to the Scripture, the importance and the necessity of women in the church. Now, we see that. And many churches have more women in them than they do men, because they many times are more sensitive to the truth and the things of God. We find that this woman, that she had a strong faith, and she was loyal to the end of the Lord's ministry. Now, again, she's one of the group of women. There's several women that ministered to the Lord. And you might say, well, how did they minister? We're going to read here. They ministered financially, I believe. They probably helped in cooking meals with the Lord and his disciples. They probably helped with washing clothes, helping organize meetings, praying, fasting, and showing hospitality. And you could probably think of a number of other synonyms that we could add to this. But notice as we come here, I want you to see that she was a disciple of Christ and she served the Lord Christ. I want you to see tonight that she was not ashamed of the Lord. The Lord was hated by many, but she was not ashamed to be identified with the Messiah. She traveled with him. And by the way, by traveling with him, she was traveling with her sons as well, to her two sons, James and John. They became apostles. And so she was probably a woman of means, as we see others in the Scriptures. Again, her husband appears, as we read, was a successful fisherman. And they were probably very generous to the gospel and the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and the kingdom of God. Notice as we come here to Luke chapter 8, reading the first three verses, and by the way, I have a sermon on these three verses that we preached last May at Mother's Day. And I can't remember the exact title, but I think it was just women that the Lord used. I can't remember, but we went through a list of women. It says in verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now notice it's Christ and the 12 as they're traveling. Then it says in verse 2, and certain women. Now I believe that these women are the ones we just read about that were standing at the cross. It says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, now watch this, and many others. So there is many women that along the way had ministered and helped the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, helped in the ministry. It says, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. In other words, financially. And I believe that they probably helped in many other ways as I just listed a moment ago. So we find the women who were with the Lord from the beginning of Galilee and all the way to Jerusalem. They're at the cross. We find them at the tomb. They're there when Christ is raised from the dead. There are some of them there when he ascended into heaven. And there's some women that are there in the upper room praying and waiting for Pentecost to come. Again, women played a major role in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Mark and notice with me in chapter 1. I'm not going to read all the passages that deal with her, her son, and her husband, but we'll read enough to just get a feel of this woman. We're talking about, first of all, talking about her faith. And you know what is interesting, too, as we read this, it appears that Zebedee, her husband, he seemed to approve of James and John when they were called into the ministry and seemed to be delighted. We know that their mother was. Read about that in just a few moments. You got to keep in mind these two young men left the business, you know, of this family and began following the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he had hired men that worked for him, but still yet they left the business and began following the Lord. Both were faithful, I believe, with Zebedee and also the wife and also their two sons that are mentioned here in the scripture. I've known of people over the years that would not want their child to go into ministry because they'd be afraid that they would starve to death and wouldn't be able to make, you know, enough money to live on and so forth. But this family were delighted, I believe, to see their two sons wanting to follow the Lord in discipleship. You'll notice that as we come to Mark chapter 1, and by the way, along the journeys as she would travel, she put herself in danger in following the Lord Jesus Christ. He was scorned, and you know his followers were scorned also, his disciples. And it appears that her husband allowed her to participate. And of course, you got the two sons that are apostles. But it appears that her husband allowed her to participate in this way and be a blessing and be in help again to the Lord Jesus. I have seen some between husbands and wife gets jealous, you know, over things like this. I was talking to my wife recently, and I like to give you real illustrations instead of reading them out of books. And we had a family, loved them, and this has been many years ago. But if she ever came to help my wife with anything of the church, he was constantly texting and calling. And if he ever came to help me with anything, she was constantly texting and calling. And my wife and I were just talking about this the other day, because I told her, I said, I'm going to be preaching on this, and that came to my mind. And one day, me and the husband, we were working here, and it wasn't a huge job. We were building something back here in the nursery, and just a matter of hours, and this happened every time. But the phone, again, didn't matter which one of them were here, the other one, and I don't think they were doing it out of love. I never did understand that, unless it was jealousy or what. But the text and the calls, and I finally said, put the phone in your truck. You know, and there's times I just lay my phone down so I can, so I can work. And I don't think she wanted him here to begin with. And so anyway, it never stopped. He didn't put it in a truck. And finally, I told him, I said, just go home. I'll do this myself. And he went home and everything was okay. I got the job done. But when we look at this family, you've got two sons that are called into the ministry. The mother, I don't believe she was gone all the time, but she participated and helped the Lord Jesus in the ministry. And I think this was a happy family serving and with the Lord. You notice in Mark chapter 1, I want to begin reading from, let me back up here, verse 14. Let's begin here. And this same story is also in Matthew 4, verse 17 through 22. We find here, verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, well, they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And I'll stop reading there. We find here that obviously they had met the Lord before this. They had heard his teachings. They had believed on him. And so we find that Salome began to be a disciple of Jesus Christ early on in his ministry. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. And again, we're not going to take every verse, but we'll take several. And let's come now to the second point, and that is her desire, or I could say her request of Messiah. We're going to find her sin in this chapter. Now, the Lord gently rebukes her and the two sons. But we do find her sin in trying to please her sons at the expense of the other disciples. Now, she has a request to the Lord, and the Lord gives her an answer and gives her sons an answer. She believes. She is a believer. She is a godly woman. But she does not fully understand that all the details and the truth about Christ going to the cross, or either that his disciples would suffer also. She is a saintly woman, and still yet do we not live in bodies of flesh and clay? So notice as we come to this chapter, and I want to read verse 20 and 21 to notice her request. We find verse 20 and 21. Then I'm going to back up to verse 17. It says, verse 20 and 21, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What will thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Now, is she a bad woman for requesting this? No. Is she wrong? Yes. She did not understand that Christ had to suffer. And she did not understand also that the apostles were called to suffer as well. Think about her two sons. We'll say something about them in a moment and what happened with them. So as we come to this, we see that she could not, evidently, as you read other scriptures, she could not say no to her sons. She could not deny them. So she went with them to make this request of the Lord Jesus. This is why some people believe that she was related in the way that she had more liberty to go and do this, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. Now, I want to back up to verse 17 through 19. Her request was sinful. It was selfish. But it was also out of ignorance, because in verse 22, the Lord Jesus says, "Ye know not what ye ask." She just didn't understand. She believes in the Lord. She loves the Lord. She believes in the kingdom. She believes he's going to be a king. Most don't believe that, do they? She believes that he's the king, and there's going to be a kingdom. But there still yet we find here that there is the selfish ambition for her sons asking for preeminence. But the thing is, this is not the first time that this has happened with the disciples. You know, they lived in a body of flesh too. And even though they were called, they had not been filled with the Holy Ghost until Pentecost. If you want to write these verses down, we'll read one passage in just a moment. But in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4, they're discussing and debating over who is the greatest in the kingdom. Human nature. And all of them are guilty of wanting positions. I mean, all of them. And this is before Pentecost. This is before the coming of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a special way. This is before that they were endued or empowered or filled with the Holy Spirit. We find this again in Mark 9, verse 33 through 35. We find it again in Luke 9, verse 46. And also Luke 22, verse 24. What is interesting? That here this question in Matthew 20, this request, and I'm going to read from verse 17 in just a moment, but this request is given after Jesus has been talking about his death and his sufferings. But this happened more than once with the disciples, and it happened at the Last Supper. In Luke 22, the night before the crucifixion, they're debating and arguing as who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So it's not just two disciples talking their mama into going with them. It's all of the disciples that are talking about these things. Notice the context in verse 17. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." the next two verses, we have this request. He's just speaking of his sufferings. And there's a request to have preeminence on the throne and set on each side of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they've got the crown before the cross. And it's the other way around. Jesus speaks of the cross being before the crowns. And then after this, not just here, but after this, at the Last Supper, they're still debating as who is going to be the greatest. In Matthew 18, verse 1 through 4, I gave a moment ago, the Lord took a little child and started speaking to them about humility, trying to teach them some lessons. Brother Lavelle and I, this morning, as we, after the service, we preached two more sermons to each other. And we, one of the big discussions we had is this thing about meekness and humility, and that we've just got to keep striving for perfection in those areas. All of us. None of us are exempt from what is happening here in this chapter. Now let's look at the context again. Well, let me give you this verse to jot down. And what is interesting about the verse I'm going to give you, it's Mark 10, and it's verse 35 through 38. It seems, as you read this, that James and John, it seems that they put their mother up to this. It was their idea. And she just couldn't deny her sons, isn't that the way it is in many cases? Let me just read these verses. I'm reading from verse 35 to 38. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. Say, they're all three involved in this. And it appears that they probably asked their mother, this godly woman that loved the Lord, to go with them and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ about this. Now let us come back to Matthew 20. And this time, notice in verse 22... because here in this passage, we have the plural. He addresses and rebukes all three of them, evidently, the mom and the boys. And it's a gentle rebuke. I want to tell you that. You know why? Because they will reign with Christ. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28, they're promised that they will reign with Christ. So it's a gentle rebuke. And not only this, Christ did not reject her request totally. He just corrected it and redirected the thinking. Because he must suffer, they must suffer, and then one day they will reign with the Lord. So she's a godly woman, but again, he said, you don't understand. There's a little of ignorance here, and true with the apostles as well. So now notice, as we come to verse 22 and 23, but Jesus answered and said, ye, this is all of them, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, we're able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. And they did. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And this is not water baptism. Jesus had already been baptized with water in Matthew 3 by John the Baptist. And he's waiting on another baptism. And it's a baptism of death and suffering. And then says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. You know what? They said, as we put the passage together, that they are willing to be baptized with this baptism. And they were. and they will reign, you know, with the Lord. The baptism of sufferings, they drank of this cup. If you want to turn, hold on to here, but I'm going to read Acts chapter 12. First of all, I'm going to read three verses. Verses 1, 2, and 3, Acts 12. Here's James. We'll go to him first. I want you to see that the first apostle that was martyred and entered into the presence and glory of Christ was James. It says, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then with the days of unleavened bread. First apostle of Christ to be martyred. Notice in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, let's look at John. Now there's a lot of legends and a lot of theories about what happened to John, from being boiled in oil and everything else. And some of those, who knows, may be true, but I'm just going to stick with what we have in the Scripture. John suffered. John got many revelations, but John, the last, now he's the last. James was the first. James was the first, and his brother John was the last apostle to die at an old age, who suffered in exile on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he suffered as well. In Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Here's the reason he was there: for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they were baptized with a baptism that Jesus Christ spoke of. Now come back with me to John or Matthew chapter 20. And notice here, in Matthew chapter 20, let's read now verse 24. And it says, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But we also know that they all have spoken of similar things. So they got angry. So there's a lesson that the Lord gives them. They're angry with James and John and Salome, their mother. Verse 25 through 28, he speaks to them about servanthood. He speaks to them about acting biblically and not acting like the Gentiles or the heathen. In the world in which we live, the key is climbing the ladder to success, no matter who it hurts or who is held back. And the Lord spoke the opposite. He talks about conforming to God's will and serving others. Jesus spent his whole life doing the Father's will. He was a servant. We preached on him in December as being the servant. Behold, the servant in Matthew 12, verses 14 or 18 through 21. And he speaks of doing only the Father's will in John 5 and verse 30. So let's read from verse 25. He says here in verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. In other words, he's saying supremacy belongs to secular princes, not preachers. And he goes on to say, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now here's the greatest example we have in all Scripture. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Lord is saying, follow me and look at me. Don't judge things based upon the world, the heathen, the Gentiles. Let us not imitate them. He says primacy belongs to the secular princes of this world, doesn't belong to the preachers or to the saints of God. Now notice in Matthew 27, while we're in this book, in Matthew, notice with me in chapter 27. Let's come to the last point, and that is her devotion to Messiah. By the way, Salome is not defined by one moment that we find her in Matthew 20. Her life is not defined that way. She's like us all. There's times we say things we shouldn't say. We say things that we don't understand. I'm 69 and still guilty of that at times, you know. And here's the thing. In Romans 8, if we don't even know sometimes what to pray for, surely we're not always going to know what to say. Remember Peter in Matthew chapter 16? Peter, the Lord says that I must go to the cross. And I'm putting this in my own words. And he said, I must go to the cross and die. And Peter spoke up and said, not so. The Lord had to give him a gentle rebuke and tell him that he's wrong. James and John one time, because Jesus wasn't received in one village, they're called the sons of thunder at this time. And they said, well, let's just bring fire down. Let's just take care of this matter. The Lord rebuked them again. So we don't even know how to pray sometimes, so we surely don't know how to speak. So what we need to do is really think things through and be careful with what we say. Now notice as we come to Matthew 27 from verse 50 through 56, we're coming back to the cross now, just in a different book. And notice as we began reading in verse 50 through 50, we'll say 56. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now notice the next two verses. Verse 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And again, we have the names of some of these women and the mother of Zebedee's children, that is Salome, in verse 56. Notice as we move on with this, notice as we come to Luke chapter 23. Now we could read in Matthew 28, but I want to come to Luke chapter 23. Again, there's several places we can look at this, but notice in Luke chapter 23. So we find her at the cross bravely. Now think about this. She stayed committed to the Lord in spite of the little incident in Matthew 20. She stayed committed to the Lord and she stayed with him to the very end. She never quit following the Lord. And we find that she's at the cross. She is bravely following Christ even to the cross when many of his disciples had fled. She's standing there witnessing the crucifixion. She's at a distance probably at this time because of the soldiers and the violent crowd that was there surrounding this. And she would have seen him carried out and nailed to the cross. She would have stood there and have seen her Savior, his side pierced in water and blood come out. This is just days after what we read in Matthew chapter 20. So she's there at the cross, observing, because she had followed him all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem outside the walls to where he would be crucified. Notice something else. There's a man by the name of Joseph that comes and pleads for the body of Jesus. And I'm not going to read all of those verses. You'll find them from verse 50 through verse 54. But notice as we come to chapter 23 of Luke, and I'm reading first of all verse 49, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. So we've got this in Mark and Matthew and Luke. Now come down with me, please, to verse 55 and 56. Notice verse 55, and the women. I believe we're talking about the same women. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So they're following him through his ministry, helping, aiding in every way that they can. And they're there at the cross. Can you imagine you've followed the Savior, the apostles and others, and then him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then you're seeing him crucified. You're not understanding all of this. When Jesus told the 12 that he must be crucified, Bible says in Luke 18, and they understood none of these things. Then when you get to Luke 24, when he's resurrected from the dead, it says, and he opened their eyes unto the Scripture before he sent them out for the Great Commission. So there's things they didn't understand. And if we'd have been there, we would not have understood them either. But we find now, coming in chapter 24 of Luke, Luke 24. Now keep in mind, chapter 23, the latter part of the chapter, she helps them prepare spices and ointment for the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ with these same women. In chapter 24, reading from verses 1 through 10, I want you to see as we read this, she is one of the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with these other women, and she runs and tells the apostles, which included her two sons, James and John. Can you imagine your mother? Had been standing there by the cross, and she runs and tells them he is raised from the dead. Notice as we read from verse 1. Now unto the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now look at verse 10. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James, and other women. I just believe that she was included. And other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. She was one of the first to see the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. Notice in the book of Acts in chapter 1. In the book of Acts in chapter 1. We will close here in the book of Acts. Notice in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is his suffering, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now notice in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and in the othermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem about a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And there abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Notice that with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren, even his brethren came to believe on him. The women are in the upper room praying, waiting for power from on high, waiting for the fulfillment of what we refer to as Pentecost in chapter 2 and verse 1. I just have to believe that she was there when the Holy Ghost came and endued them with power. A wonderful testimony that this woman experienced the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ after experiencing and participating in his ministry and experienced the ascension of Christ, more than likely, again in the upper room, and the experience of Pentecost. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy Word, and we pray, Lord, that we would interpret it properly, that we might understand it, that it might be a help and a blessing and a guide to us. Lord, we thank Thee for giving us Your Word and giving us the indwelling Holy Spirit. We just ask now, Lord, for Your presence to be with us as we sing. And Lord, as we take up the prayer request tonight, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.